Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and today I'm so thrilled because with me I have Jeff Lazarus. Jeff is a leadership coach, speaker, trainer, adjunct professor, and creative who innovates and builds roads not yet traveled. He has an MBA from Pepperdine University and a BA in interpersonal and organizational communication from Cal State University, Long Beach. He combines his passion for animals with his teachings on communication by releasing a book, Listen Like a Dog, in 2016, and two brand new bestsellers. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's fun to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. And you're talking about one of my favorite subjects, and that is communication. And then another one of my favorite subjects are pets. And my preference, as we've talked about before, is dogs. But I really do love cats, too. So we're going to be talking about your new books. And for those that have not had the pleasure of being able to meet you yet and get to know you, tell us a little bit about how you came to your passion and purpose in life through all of your work in communication.
Well, I've always been a communicator of sorts. I not only love to present and to entertain, I really love to engage and engage at a deep level with people. In fact, I learned at an early age that I was a good listener because people used to say, wow, you're a great listener, and I appreciate that. And I didn't really think much of it when I was young. I just thought, oh, okay, whatever. But I realized later in life that listening is absolutely critical for success and is important in healthy relationships, both business and personal. So I took it very seriously and began to hone my own listening skills in the workplace, became quite successful, started teaching workshops, and thus a book was born.
That is so terrific, really terrific. So tell us a little bit about why listening is so important and how that enriches communication and relationships, because I couldn't agree more, and that's why I love what I do so much doing the interviews, is because it gives me a chance to learn so much by listening. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what that looks like for you as an expert in the field.
Sure. It's the fact that we as a society, we've been trained on output. We're a very output-driven society. If you think about it, we have classes on public speaking and presentation and whatnot. We're judged how well we presented. We go on social media to give our output. But we're really not trained on input. Listening is one of those things where we're like, yeah, we're supposed to do it. Okay, I'm listening, go ahead. And it's a chore, right? But here's the beauty of it. To use listening as a tool, use it on the offense, not a defense, but to tell somebody, I really want to listen, and you have to be genuine about it, and I want to listen to understand, and that's the goal of listening. And when you do that to somebody, and this could be a friend, a significant other, somebody in the workplace, not only do you gain respect, you do learn and you create a much deeper and more fruitful friendship, companion, whatever it is you're after, even making the sale. I mean, listening is critical in sales. And it's been a tremendous asset for me professionally. Everybody knows I'm that input person first. I want the input. I want to learn. And people respect it. And you know what? It works wonders.
That is absolutely so beautiful. And I think, you know, it's also, I think of it often as the difference between internally focused and externally focused. You know, when you're externally focused, it just seems that relationships are always more enriched than when you're continually internally focused. I think this is true too, and you do speaking. I think when you're externally focused, speaking becomes somewhat effortless because there's an interest in sharing the message, you know, that in people hearing it, as opposed to the focus being on you and the nervousness and how you're presenting. So, yeah, I think it's so, so important. So tell us a little bit about how pets got involved in your world, and particularly in your writing world.
This is a lot of fun for me, as I'm sure a lot of people are going to relate to this. It's the fact that, you know, we'll talk about listening first. You know, my best listener in my life was a four-legged golden bundle of fur named Romy. And Romy was my dog and companion and confidant. And he and I, we were just two peas in the pot, always looking for trouble. But the one thing about Romy is I would talk to him endlessly. And he would be just curled up next to me on the couch, laying on the bed. Yes, that's right, on the bed. And so I got to tell Romy about my day at work. In fact, I used to tell him about my dating life. And it was really funny because I'd come home from a date and I would say, okay, Romy, so here's what happened. So she said this, I went here, and then, you know, it's almost as if Romy would look at me and say, well, no wonder why you're home so early. That didn't go well. But it's what dogs don't do. You see, he might just lay there, but what he didn't do was he didn't interrupt me. He never told me, get over it, or you know what, there's something on TV, I can't listen right now. He didn't judge me, or so I think he didn't, right? But it's the things that they don't do, and that's why we love talking to our dogs, or at least we should. Try it if you haven't, you know, or cats, or plants, or anybody that will listen. And so I thought it'd be a very fun theme to talk about listening like a dog and making your mark on the world. The title of the book really means everything. If you learn to listen and really listen with genuine care, with a goal of understanding, we can make a mark on every person in our lives. And that's how this came to be.
Oh, that is so wonderful. And I have kind of a cute little story to tell you. I used to raise Newfoundlands, and I had a Newfoundland as my house dog, and I would come home for work, and I had like a fainting couch in the living room, and I would just fall on the fainting couch, and Charlie would climb up in this beautiful sofa and lay right on top of me, you know, and I started talking to him, and I got him to start talking to me. I'd say, so, Charlie, how was your day? And he would just start talking, you know, like a low bark, you know, just talking. It was so wonderful, and I really felt that we had communication at the end of my day, and it made my whole day seem brighter, so I really get what you're saying. And he listened to me a lot, too, so it was really great. So, Jeff, tell me a little bit about your two new books, because they also stem from communication and your love of animals, and they're marvelous.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying they're marvelous. They certainly were a lot of fun to write, and the whole experience for me was just really fun. And, you know, I love it, and I love how people come back to me and say, this book is about me. That's always my favorite comment. You know, going back to the dating days, and that's certainly a theme in my life, is I was on a particular date years ago when I was single, and this one lady, she had two dogs, and we were actually leaving this date, and she asked me out in the parking lot, what's your religion? And I remember it just kind of coming out of nowhere, and I was just being funny at the time, and I told her dogtology. And she looked at me funny, almost tilted her head a little bit like a dog would, and then she laughed. And then I laughed, and then we said our goodbyes. I actually never saw her again. But the point is years later, I had realized after playing with a dog on a beach on a vacation to Hawaii that dogtology was something I said, and I wasn't really sure quite yet what it was. But then I was talking to, you know, my now wife, and I was telling her about dogtology, and it just sort of hit me. Wait a minute. And I remember running to the computer, looking up the definition of a belief. And the definition of a belief is knowing and believing that something or someone is true and real. And I thought, well, wait a minute, this kind of makes sense. So this is actually a belief system that us humans are partaking every day. Like if you think about all of the posts on social media, the memes, the videos, everything going on, dogs, 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 right? Cats too. On the TV, you can't watch three consecutive commercials in a row without seeing a dog. Doesn't matter if it's for a car or ED, right? It's just that there's a dog on there, and we are so enamored, we run to it. And so Dogtology was born with a literal definition. It's the belief in dog, and we're practicing this every day. It's about us, and we love it to no end, do we not?
We absolutely do love it to no end, and we're not going to leave the cats out because you also have a companion book about cats. It's wonderful. But tell me a little bit about Dogtology from the standpoint of what you hope readers take away from the book.
Sure. So I'll answer that question, then we'll talk about the birth of catechism, too, during the process. What readers would get out of this is the experience of just nodding their head, saying, yep, that's me. Oh, my gosh, I do that. Or my sister does that, or my friend, or my significant other does that. And really laughing at their own behavior and how in the club we really are. And second to that, maybe seeing things from a different perspective. You know, the argument is made, really, in Chapter 1, the Book of Bones, that Dogtology is a bona fide belief system. And it's sort of inarguable if you read it. It makes a lot of sense. There's some unique history to it. But the book has a lot of, you know, nonsense and fun and cute pictures to accompany it. And it's really about us and how we're living. For example, some of the funny rituals we have with our dogs are in Chapter 5, the Book of Hydrants. You know, one of my favorite chapters, certainly. And during the process of Dogtology, I was telling people, yeah, I'm writing this book, it's called Dogtology. And people would say one of two things, either that's great, I can't wait for the book, or that's great, but where's that cat book? So it got to the point where not only was I fearing that cats were plotting to kill me, but now their humans were too. So I knew I had to write this book. And so, and so Catechism was born, and Catechism is the same experience for cat lovers as I just talked about with Dogtology. You know, the Book of Litter, we talk about literally litter, and then we talk about, you know, the crazy cat lady concept and how Catechism is a belief system unto its own. And, you know, the Book of Hairballs has its funny rituals in it, and it's the same fun experience. A lot of fun to write, I got to tell you.
Yeah, and so much fun for the reader to read, as I am a huge fan of these books. I just think they're amazing. So tell me how your work with communication, the first book you wrote, and then these books, are communicating with people on the level of things that they really identify with, and their most beloved members often of their family. Tell me a little bit about how would this impact the world if you were to look at the work that you've done with communication and now bringing the animals into it. How would you look at this if this was like a legacy almost for you? What would that look like for you, Jeff?
Sure, and I really appreciate that question because legacy is a really key word. You know, I'm known in my circles to be everything from that listening guy or Jeff's a great connector with people. And I know that a lot of people confide in me. I mean, even at friendship level on the telephone. It's because people know that I will listen and I will get down to the layers that a lot of people don't go. I don't operate just on the surface. But, you know, I really do want to understand people. You know, I want to acknowledge. In fact, in Listen Like a Dog, I make a real big point of how acknowledgement is key. And you know what, Vicki? Listen to this interesting point that I realized while writing the book. I realize that if you're on a flight and that pilot is speaking with a control tower, there's a feedback loop. They say, okay, we're on approach. The control tower says, okay, gotcha. They confirm. And then the pilot confirms again that they got the confirmation. And then the control tower says, okay, got it. Good night. So there's a back and forth confirmation. The acknowledgement is key. Why? Because lives are at stake. But yet in our daily communication, we don't take acknowledgement that seriously. We just blow over and blow off people because we don't think it's a matter of life and death. You know, fire rescue, they do the same kind of acknowledgement. Paramedics, but not daily communication for most of us. This is part of the legacy I want to leave, is that all communication is important. You know, sure, if you're at the ball game, you don't have to go, well, Bill, I heard you. Thanks for sharing. I mean, that's silly. But in business communication and in serious friendship and relationship communication, I think we need to really get down to that level of true acknowledgement. People have feelings and they want to be heard. That's part of the legacy that I want to leave. And with the other books, I just simply want people to have a good time. I want them to be happy. I want them to laugh at themselves. We're at a very serious time in our lives, in our world, where things aren't always so rosy. You got to turn off the TV or turn on Animal Planet instead. And so we have a chance with our dogs and cats to love them and laugh. And that's the experience that I'm hoping to leave.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So if you have a couple of tips about listening, if maybe some people it's not an ingrained habit yet to listen, and to be able to become a better listener, what would be a couple of your favorite tips?
Sure. So one of them is making the commitment to listen. And the commitment to listen is a two-way activity. So if you came to me and you said, you know, Jeff, I have something really important that I want to share with you, and I would say, well, you know what? Right now is not the best time for me to give my full attention, but can I call you back in an hour? Or how about tomorrow? Or give me just a minute. So then I'm giving you a commitment. So when you call me back in an hour, I've given the commitment to listen to you. And it's an important step. As simple as it sounds, it really is key, because now the person has an orientation in their head that, okay, when we do speak, I really am going to listen. And I used to do this when I first started in my career, you know, calling on busy professionals. And I used to say, I have some really important information that I want to share, and I want to make sure that you're able to really listen and that I can listen to you. When is a good time? And I used to get commitments from people, whether it was wait a minute, come back next week, whatever. The commitment was really important. Okay, that's one step, is gaining that commitment and giving the commitment. And a second one is really embracing silence. You know, we know the expression silence is golden, but we don't use it as a tool. And here's how you can use it as a tool, even in the workplace. If you're with somebody, you're in a business meeting, somebody's speaking to you, downloading information, maybe you're on a sales call, you know, think about saying to somebody, you know, what you're saying is really important. I'd like to just take a minute and digest this. That's going to be accepted. They might think it's a little awkward because they don't hear that. But what that does for you, it gives you time to truly take in what's being said and not just fire something back. It also shows them that what they shared with you is important, that you want to take it in, that you're taking notes. And it buys you time to even think about where you want to go and what you want to say next. And I used to do that with some of the top thought leaders in medicine in our country. I would sit at their desk and say, I would like to take some notes and just take a moment and think this through. And I used to buy myself anywhere from 10 seconds to 20 seconds of time, you know, to think about where I wanted to go in that discussion. And they saw me taking notes. And you know what? The meetings I had with these professionals got longer and longer. And so I know it's foreign for a lot of people. They think I'm a little crazy at first, but I guarantee my work. So try it.
Oh, that's wonderful, Jeff. Well, give everyone the full name of Dogtology and Catechism. And I know they can find it on Amazon and, you know, wherever books are sold. But if you could give them the full name, because they're so cute.
Sure. So Dogtology is Dogtology. And the subtitle is Live, Bark, Believe. And that's for people who want to give the gift of laughter, who want to laugh at themselves, have a good time, and see how Dogtology is one of the most popular beliefs on earth. Catechism, importantly spelled C-A-T-A-K-I-S-M, Catechism, bow to the meow. And same thing, if you want to laugh at yourself as a crazy cat person and give the gift of laughter to somebody else who's crazy about their cute kittens, this is definitely the experience for them. These books are widely available at all major booksellers, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all the independent stores, Target, Walmart, everybody lists the books. And, of course, Amazon. And here's the great thing about Amazon. Nowadays, right, with the recent news, you could wake up in the morning and that book would be right there under your pillow. They'll have the key. So books are widely available.
Maybe, Yeah, maybe not delivered by drone yet, but coming soon, right?
Coming soon, into your room.
I tell you, I'm so excited about the books that I have a lot of friends that are dog lovers and cat lovers and many friends that are both, and that's what they're getting for their Christmas gift. So I can't even begin to tell you how much I've enjoyed our time together, Jeff. I know people are going to want to know where they can learn more about the wonderful work you're doing with communication and your writing. So is there a website where they could go to connect?
Sure. Absolutely. So, of course, Listen Like a Dog being the third book, listenlikeadog.com, but you can go into jefflazarus.com. So it's Jeff, J-E-F-F, Lazarus, L-A-Z-A-R-U-S.com. And there you can learn about all three books. You can learn about me as an author. You can learn about my author coaching program and publishing label that's going to soon be released. So I'd love to hear from you.
Fabulous, Jeff. And again, thank you so much for being with us and for all of your wisdom and knowledge and talent and for spending time with us today.
Well, thank you very much. It's always fun to talk about dogtology and catechism and listening. And thank you for listening.
My pleasure. I'm sure the pleasure of everyone here on the show today. So if you would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcasting communities, you can find us at getei.com and have a wonderful week.